Hello everyone, welcome to yet another fresh episode of the Splashy Business Show. I have with me today Farah Bashir. Hi Farah, how are you?
I'm good, how are you? Thank you for the
I'm
nice
I'm also good. My name is Abdul Majid Awan and today is 30th of December. It's a very nice Monday and we have the new year coming up.
Yes.
Or in the middle of the week. That's a very
Which
good news.
Which is very exciting.
Yeah, because we'll get one extra off. We already got a lot of offs here and there, half days. I guess it's a very festive feeling in December, at the end of December.
It is. It really is. I loved it. You know, it was like Christmas and now New Year's.
Yeah.
It was beautiful.
So what's your New Year resolution? Oh. Right from the start. What's
right.
your New
okay.
Year resolution?
It's very simple. I'm already a very honest person. If I have an opinion, I voice it out. Some people think I'm
rude.
Not, yeah, I didn't say the word, but rude because I'm honest. But it's just I'm being honest.
Oh.
So I will. My New Year's resolution is to be more honest.
Nice. you're already honest, but you'll be brutally honest.
Exactly. I'm going to be brutally honest. If someone's being mean, I don't care who they are. I'm not going to care about what they do. I'm not going to care about their age. I'm going to say it straight at their face. I already do that.
Oh.
But, you know, like...
You're going up a notch.
I'm going to... It's like... You know, no, actually, this year, I was very kind of, like, quiet. I was not very honest. Because my family would be like, oh, Farah, I shouldn't be that honest. No, but I think I should be honest.
But would you expect that in, like, return? If
yeah.
someone is being brutally honest
sure.
to you, would you be like, okay, this guy
sure.
thing cares for me, maybe?
Sure. I mean, you know, like, the thing is, like, because if someone is not going to be honest, then maybe I wouldn't change. Maybe, like, they... Let's say, like, I said something that they don't like, right? And...
Nice. That's a very...
They can say it to me. It's yeah. fine. But if someone's being mean, I'll be like, you're mean.
Okay, so that's
nice
all. That's also honesty, I guess.
Exactly.
You tell them you're mean.
I'm not going to be like, oh, you know, you're nice and kind, but yeah. you were just mean by saying that. I'm like, no, you're mean. With a smile.
I was reading this New York Times piece
yeah.
Where they did their own, like, a poll on the things that they wanted. And just guess, what will be the most, like, common wish, common New Year resolution by the people in the U.S. That's the only one I could find. Maybe we'll do a poll about UAE also.
Yeah,
but
I think
what would be cool. the top? What do you think is the top thing that people wanted as a New Year resolution? Just
think
guess.
To be healthy.
Yeah, lose weight.
Lose weight.
That,
yeah,
that was the most funny
weight.
Part. I guess it is the most generic New Year resolution in the world.
You know, I think. People, because, like, you know, like, we are, right, we live in, like, we look at people on magazines, right?
Wow.
And we think that we can look like that. But God created us in our bodies,
yeah.
which look a certain way, and no matter how much you lose weight, that's your body, and that's how you're going to look like.
Yeah.
So and you don't want to, like, an elephant cannot turn into a fox.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Very good point. Very good analogy.
Yes.
To be honest. No, but what do you think? Why is losing weight? I guess there's a whole... I personally think, a little business perspective
yeah.
on it, that the marketing of the weight loss products, you know, we have a new Ozempic thing. Apart from that, the whole gym industry, everything, every marketing tool by wellness, blah, 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 yogas, everything included. Their marketing is so good that people have finally realized that maybe we are fat and
maybe
we
are
need
the problem.
Yeah. So I guess that's one part of it. And then
yeah.
there is another part of it. The people who are making people fat, the fast food
that's
industry,
true.
I guess.
That is
yeah.
true.
So obesity is caused by one industry. We pay money to them to get fat,
yeah.
eat food, and then we pay money to another industry, which is, again, both of them are trillion, billion dollar
yeah,
at least industries. So we pay one industry, get fat, like get unhealthy, and then we pay the other industry to be slim or be healthier.
I think it's a
right?
marketing strategy from
yeah.
both ends, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, like, oh yeah, you know what? Hi, we serve really unhealthy foods.
just come and eat it.
But, you know, just come and eat it. And then there's like the gym and healthy sector. On the other hand, like, oh, you're eating that? Don't eat that. You know, you should subscribe to our gym. You need to pay 500 dirhams a month to be able to have a very good body shape.
And then some extra for the trainer, and then some extra for this machine or that machine. So, it's economics at the end of the day.
What's your New Year's resolution?
My New Year's resolution is very simple. Just be more loving, caring, kind, and that's it. My whole idea of life right now is trying to raise a good human being. I have a 4.5-year-old.
Aww.
So just like main focus is always like making him a good human being. And for that, you have to be a good human being.
Of course.
So he can follow the lead and become a better person, I guess.
Yes,
that's the whole idea. Because after he grows up to a certain age, he'll leave the home. They leave the nest always. So till that time, just to be an ideal human being.
So
that he can follow a good trail. That's it. That's the idea. Not like in a sentence, but generally the idea.
Yes.
Okay, let's move on to some of our business stories. Some of the biggest things happened over the weekend. I was not here Friday. She did the show with Worth. Worth is my usual partner in crime on this show. But it was a good show. I saw the show. I really liked it.
Thank you.
You guys have certain chemistry amongst you. But first of all, let's talk about the biggest story that I could find. Rafael Nadal, he's a Spanish legend, tennis legend, and he's already an ambassador to the Saudi Sports Federation. He has said that he plans to open an academy in Saudi Arabia. Now, this may look like a sports story, but this opens a door to understand what Saudi Arabia is doing in the sports sector. And that is not in millions. Now, the sports industry in Saudi Arabia has grown to billions, and they are trying to get their hands into everything possible, every possible sport they're getting their hands into. And if I could just tell you, the part of the Saudi Vision 2030, the economic diversification plan that they have, Saudi Arabia, they want to invest $2 billion annually in sports, and they want to target a $16.5 billion contribution to GDP by 2030. So basically, they want to put $2 billion, but they want to get out with $16.5 billion every year. That's nearly 1.5% of their GDP. So Saudi Crown Prince, Mohammed bin Salman, I remember his video, put it on a story of ours as well, when someone asked him, you're doing sports washing. You're just buying sports teams, sports things, and trying to clean your human rights record. And he was like, I don't care what you call it. As long as it adds money to my country, adds 1.5 or 1% to my GDP, I'm happy.
You know, because like we talked about it like several times about Saudi Arabia has a vision for 2030. And as King Salman said, they don't care. They want to achieve that.
Yeah.
They for sure have a number, a goal that they want to achieve, and they are working hard to achieve it. And with Nadal, like we know that Nadal is a very prominent tennis player. So having him open an academy in Saudi Arabia will nurture massive local talent and serve, you know, like it's going to be a center for excellence, and as well it will promote the economic growth that Saudi Arabia is looking for. You know, it's expected to contribute to $16.5 billion to Saudi's GDP. As we know that Saudi Arabia is turning away from oil.
Yeah.
You know, oil is not a very big thing right now that countries don't want to depend on.
Yeah.
So they're looking to depend on other things.
Yeah. And it's an exhaustible resource. You can only take out so much oil. They have like reserves for next 50 years at least. But obviously someday, they're planning for the future. They someday want to move away.
Sure.
And they're building the foundations right now. So Saudi Vision 2030 is behind literally everything that Saudi Arabia is doing right now. They recently got the 2034 FIFA World Cup hosting rights. They plan to build nearly 15 stadiums. 8 of them will be in Riyadh. It's a very big, it's not even a mega project, it's a giga project. And talking about giga projects, NEOM is a giga project. There's Qiddiya, which is a giga project. It's an entertainment city. My wife was recently in Saudi Arabia, in Riyadh, and I told her to take a lot of videos of different places because I tried to go, but I didn't want to go, actually. But I will travel to Riyadh. I want to see. Everyone is talking about Riyadh right now.
Yes, that's
Jeddah
true.
Also.
Yes.
Obviously, Jeddah is the center, capital. But Riyadh is something, there's something unimaginable happening
that
there.
That is true. You know, because like they, Saudi Arabia, if you would compare Saudi Arabia years ago to what it is right now, it's incomparable. You know what I mean? Not only that, like we know that NBC Group is having all of its employees go there. So they want to open, they've opened cinemas. They are, the women rights are even more prominent and women can now drive, you know. It's not the Saudi Arabia that we know. And of course, that's all thanks to King Salman.
And she told us, the videos that I saw, Riyadh Boulevard City and everything, to be honest, I go to Global Village every time. Like every year I go at least 4 or 5 times. They are matching it. With Riyadh Boulevard City, the sports city, the Riyadh season itself happening, they are trying to match and actually go beyond UAE's, whatever UAE has right now, which it boasts about. They opened Riyadh Metro. She showed me videos of Riyadh Metro and I was like, this is too cool. They look better than some airports.
Oh my God, it's
like... I was like, okay, nice. And they actually hired like very world famous Saudi architects who are known throughout the world to make those metro stations. Obviously, it took a long, rough time. It took nearly 10 years to build the metro. But finally, they have it. And it shows that they don't want to sit on whatever is there now. They're going everywhere possible. Talking about sports, they're in Formula One. LIV Golf is a very contrast opposite to PGA Tour that they started. There was a legal battle between the two. But now they're coming on terms. And imagine... a thing that started like 4 or 5 years ago, the PGA Tour, which has been here for like 70 odd years, they're bowing down in front of them and they're coming for collaboration. So that shows you the power of Saudi initiatives. That the Saudi LIV Golf is in its infancy, I would say. 4 or 5 years is nothing for anything to create.
That is
and then
true,
a 70-year-old giant bowing down in front of them. Okay, let's collaborate.
Yes.
So a lot of good things are happening in Saudi Arabia. Sports is one of the things. Apart from that, there's everything that you can possibly imagine is happening in Saudi Arabia. Your last comment on Saudi Arabia. What do you think, Farah, when 2030 comes and everything is like all the targets are reached and they've surpassed the targets? Would you go to Saudi Arabia next? Would you prefer Saudi Arabia or Europe? Because Saudi is nearer now.
I mean, Saudi Arabia or Europe?
Yeah.
I mean, to be honest with you, I'm thinking of it in this way. I love Dubai.
Oh, okay.
I would never leave Dubai, even if they would pay me so much to go and live somewhere else.
Oh, for example, for tourist thing. If you have like 1 week, would you, the things that you've seen growing in Saudi Arabia, would you try and go, at least try and go and experience what they've built?
Sure.
Right?
For sure. Yeah, for sure, for sure. Because like, I would want to see, and a lot of people are going to be like, oh yeah, it's going to be exactly like Dubai.
Yeah.
You know, but we don't know, you know, it would be nice to experience Saudi Arabia after its transformation.
Yeah, maybe they won up UAE and we always talk about it, that the healthy race, thankfully because of Saudi Arabia now trying everything, UAE is coming up with 1 million things as well. And talking about that, let's go to one of the routes that has been created through Pakistan. I belong to Pakistan, so I know a lot about the geography of Pakistan. But in very simple terms, in the northern areas of Pakistan, there's a whole track which connect. There's the neighbors in Pakistan in the northern areas are China. So China does a lot of trade through our routes in Pakistan. But Pakistan now has opened a new trade route, which is in line with, it's a very complicated French name, so I wouldn't know how to pronounce it, but some trade international routier. Basically, it's the first time that Pakistan has opened a trade corridor, and now it will connect China and UAE. It's through the Khunjerab Pass. It's basically a pathway from Pakistan to China. That's like the entry point to China from Pakistan. It's called Khunjerab Pass. So basically, you pass from Pakistan to China. So yeah, that's the thing. The inaugural operation is managed by Pakistan's National Logistics Corporation. It's a state-owned entity, and it's majorly run by Pakistan military. So that's one thing. And recently, some trucks took electronic goods from Kashgar, China, to Dubai's Jebel Ali port.
Oh.
And the travel time, the whole travel time was, and like the whole transport time from loading to unloading at Jebel Ali port, it took 10 days. So they experimented with that and they're like, okay, 10 days, quick enough. So yeah, good for UAE, good
that
for
is
China.
Very good, of course.
And very good for Pakistan. They get the transit fee.
Of course, for sure, because, like, you know, like, as well, this is all happening because they are expecting an economic impact. For sure, now this will be boosting regional trade, as you mentioned, and as well will be benefiting local communities in Pakistan, and will be enhancing Pakistan's role as a trade hub, and will be increasing revenue for Pakistan.
Yeah.
So that will all contribute, and not
so all three parties basically will benefit, because China, whatever it wants to send to the UAE, the main route that they use is the sea route.
Mm-hmm.
And sea route, the problem with ships is low waters, high waters. There's a lot of complications, obviously easiness as well, but there's a lot of things involved in freight cargo through sea routes. But by road, it's simpler. You just load a truck, it goes, stops there, unloading happens. And usually in roads, there's less turbulence through water and other factors.
Yes.
So yeah, it's very controllable route through roads. But let's see, hopefully all three countries will be happy.
For sure, you know, because like they are expecting economic growth. And with that, of course, there will be employment, more employment opportunities in the region.
Yeah.
Of course, you know what I mean, which will be benefiting everyone, people who are exporting and importing, and as well people who will be working.
And what I have always thought, that, and everyone says it, you talk to any economist and any person related to the trade or industry, even the Minister for Foreign Trade, Dr. Thani, I have one or two conversations with him when I was in the last company. The main thing was that he always said that we're trying to become the center of the world.
Mm-hmm.
So even if you want to connect East with the West, there should be a center point where they can come, like stop for some time, rest, or there should be a hub which can connect everything. And UAE, I remember, there's a very interesting number that the farthest, it's like, to nearly 70% of the world, UAE flight times are maximum 7 to 8 hours. So in 7 to 8 hours, you couldn't go right like across to the East, and in 7 to 8 hours, you can go to the West. So it makes it the center of everything. That is why I guess it's called Middle East, because it's in the middle. But UAE is trying to become, it is already a hub. And this trade route will help, because China doesn't only export products. Obviously, China is the biggest trade partner for UAE in dollar terms.
For sure.
Biggest. Then comes India, and then there's like 2-3 other countries. But China is basically, what they're doing is they're trying to connect to other regions through UAE as well. So China to through Pakistan to UAE 10 days, and then wherever they want to send stuff, I guess. That will take lesser time now, because there is a number I was reading. It takes nearly 30 days through the Sri route.
I mean, it's sorry. It's all like, you know, going to be contributing to the economy of, as you said, too.
Yeah. So the best part is everyone will be happy, and maybe we'll have Chinese products cheaper.
Sure. I mean, you never know at this point, right? Because like we see that the UAE is hustling and bustling to boost its economy in all different ways.
Yeah.
And maybe this is one way.
So whatever Chinese products you're using, the good quality Chinese products, it's not bad quality. I recently saw a video by Tim Cook, the CEO of Apple, and he made a very nice point. It's not connected to this, but it's somehow connected. He said that when we went to China, Apple went to China, I guess if you have an iPhone, it will say made in China. All the iPhones are now made in China, from like first bolt to the last covering. He said that China, everyone thinks that they make cheap products, bad quality products. The main idea is that you have experts for everything in China.
Of course.
So you don't go to China for like cheap labor. There's other options like Vietnam, Pakistan also comes in that category. He's like, we go to China for the expertise, for everything that you want. They have thousands of experts. So that's the good part about China. So yeah, Chinese products, maybe when they arrive in UAE now through this trade route, will become cheaper, because less operational cost, less fuel cost. You'll get stuff for like cheaper prices in UAE soon. Very good news. Moving on to our last story of the day. UAE government has issued a federal decree law to regulate the medical products industry, pharmacy profession, and pharmaceutical establishments. The law encompasses all aspects of licensing, monitoring, and operations within the pharmaceutical sector, aligning the UAE with international standards. It also introduces measures to attract investment encourage innovation and ensure public health and safety through stringent regulatory oversight?
I mean, you know, like we know that the UAE is not only elevating its economy, but as well its health sector. And yeah. with that, the law which will be regulating all aspects of the pharmaceutical sector will be including licensing, monitoring, operations, development, manufacturing, registration, pricing, import, export, and marketing. And of course, this will help UAE as it aims to solidify its position as a trusted center for pharmaceuticals and medical industries. And as well, the law will be introducing incentives for investments in pharmaceutical and offers a framework for patent protection.
Yeah. So the main idea is they're trying to regulate the industry to make it more feasible for people to buy medicines.
Mm-hmm.
Because see,
for sure.
at the end of the day, what I have realized is all the rules and regulations are made by keeping in mind the last denominator, and that's you and me,
that's
I guess.
True, yes.
So if you're getting medicines for different prices at different pharmacies, they want to regulate it. We recently did a story that they're not going to, they have now a whole system in place where you can't increase the prices of eggs, breads, there's like 9 items in that list. So they're trying to regulate prices because they understand that not everyone earns like millions of dirhams in the UAE. Everyone has a different specific salary, and according to that, sometimes when they need medicines, if they don't have insurance or anything, is there like sometimes you're switching job and you are in between insurances,
yes,
they should be able to buy basic life-saving or basic at least headache medicines. Mm-hmm. So that's the whole purpose behind it. But you can find all the details on the Smashy socials. We have an Instagram, TikTok, Facebook. We're on LinkedIn. Wherever you want to find us, we're there as Smashy Business. So thank you very much for joining us. And thank you so much, Farabashi.
Thank you.
This is our second last show
before
the new year.
Yes, before the new year.
So tomorrow I'll make the joke that meet you next year. But yeah, we'll be here tomorrow. We'll be off on Wednesday on the 1st of May because there's a national holiday in the UAE. So we'll see you on Tuesday and then on Thursday. Thank you so much for joining us. We have 1.34 million, producer, 1.34 million listeners on our Augustus Media Podcast Network. We have multiple shows. Love in Abu Dhabi is hosted by Farah and Casey.
Love in Dubai.
Yeah, but since it's holiday seasons.
Yes.
So Love in Dubai, yeah, sorry. Why did I say Love in Abu Dhabi?
I don't know. It's fine, it's fine, it's okay.
Love in Dubai, Love in Abu Dhabi, we have multiple, like I guess 22 Love-ins.
Yes.
And then under Smashy, we have a Smashy Sports Show, which is at 11 a.m. UAE time. You can watch it for all the insights about sports as well. Thank you very much. If you're one of the listeners, take care, have a great day, and get ready for the new year. Buy your tables.
Bye.